This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Chris. Is it the end of the semester yet?
Oh, boy, somebody's dragging. I don't have those worries.
Four more weeks.
Well, it's so funny because my kids have just lamented that they've just finished up their midterms. So they're like, all right, we just got one big push to go towards the end of the year. And
yeah, the thing is, like, I assign things, but then I forget I have to grade them. That's the silly part.
It's easy to make other people do the work, but when you have to do it yourself, that's when the trouble starts.
Yeah. So I have two birthday shout outs.
Okay.
One is our MEI Mouse Fan Travel travel agent, Mandy Gonzalez. It's her birthday. And also to somebody who will never hear this podcast, my son, Evan.
Evan. How old is Evan now?
Gonna be 28. How can I have a 28-year-old? He's in Mexico. Living the life. Yeah.
Living the dream. All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Good to hear. And also with us is the effervescent, and I'm sure you have all loved his standalone episodes, Mr. Mike Scopa.
Well, that standalone episode would have been nothing without your wonderful production skills, Chris. So thank you very much for making me sound very, very good. And how are you tonight?
I'm good. Look, I'm the biggest fan of those. I want to hear more of those. I'm hoping you're going to do a bunch more. I know Michelle is sort of sneakily, you know, showing you some
reference material.
She's just throwing books out there and I want to hear more of them because I really did enjoy, and I actually did enjoy doing the production work on them. Made it fun. So and you folks at home, if you did enjoy it, please send us a note on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. Let us know if you like them and what attractions you might want to hear about from our vast knowledge of Scopa.
But the Scopaverse.
The Scopaverse. So
there are some interesting stories, and there are some that I hope are new to our listeners. I try to grab information and facts and stories from things I've read, things I've watched, people I've talked to, including Imagineers and cast members and authors and people like that who I've been very fortunate enough to, you know, to rub elbows with. So hopefully I can be entertaining and informative.
That's all you can do these days, right? Is rub elbows with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not allowed to shake hands, hug, or anything else. But so as we're recording, this past weekend was the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. It seems to have gone off pretty well. I haven't heard much. What did you guys hear about? Do you have any friends who ran it or had anything to say about it?
Yeah, I had our woman on the street, Dr. Melissa Iannetta, who ran the 10K, was giving me, she knows I'm really interested in the safety protocols, and was telling me that people were not masked in the corrals, but other than that, she felt super duper safe throughout the whole thing, and found it enjoyable. You know, she was sort of saying things that other people have said. It's like, it's good to get back into doing these types of things again. So one complaint I had, and it wasn't just from Melissa, I saw a lot of people discussing this on Twitter, was the fact that the expo was sold out of a lot of things, that there were people who had piles and piles of jackets and shirts and memorabilia. There's supposed to be some sort of limits and people are doing sort of a self-checkout type of thing. And, you know, apparently with the idea that things are going to be sold on eBay. So that meant that people like Melissa, who couldn't get to the expo because of work until Saturday, couldn't get the things that she wanted. And really, it was pretty amazing to see piles and piles of, like, you know, somebody with 15 jackets, 15 shirts, just all piled up. Just kind of breaks my heart for the folks who, may just have one day to go, may have a, you know, different work schedule. And I was thinking that wouldn't it be great when you signed up for a race if you could say, I want a jacket, I want a magnet, I want a this and that. And then there'd be like, you know, you can do it at Target and at Costco. Why can't you do it at the Disney races 6 months before your race?
And that's the solution, Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it for a pin, but nothing else.
Have something available online so that you can order ahead of time. And, you know, obviously Disney's going to want you to donate the kidney so that you can pay for the merchandise. And then you go to the... You know,
but it's not even that. It's like you want to... If this is a special race for you...
No, I understand.
And you want the merchandise, you should be able to get the merchandise.
And then you go to the expo and you go to, you know, the area where you would say, hey, I ordered this shirt, this magnet, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
Here's your bag.
Here's your bag. Boom. So you order ahead of time. And I think it helps the Disney merchandise people who say, okay, I know how many shirts I need to order, how many magnets I need to order, or at least they get a better idea so they don't overbuy. So that's the solution.
Something else that I was seeing, well, before I say that, I wanted to ask Chris what you thought about that option. What do you think?
You know, I'm not one who's big on the merchandise stuff, but I know so many people who are, and they just want to have a little something. I know my wife desperately goes in and wants to get a shirt of some sort. You know, and Mike's right. I wish there were other options to get it. I know that it sort of becomes more exclusive when you can only get it there. Like, sort of that's the drive behind it. But yeah, what happened on this time that made people able to do that? Usually they've put limits on purchases. Was it because it was self-checkout?
I think there was a self-checkout option and that people were able to just to buy the stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like the COVID rules kind of messing with you know, people's
also experience. Honestly, like if somebody's coming in with 10 jackets, is the person behind the cash register who makes $12 an hour going to be arguing with them? Well, I mean, that's not fair to put them in that place. Hmm? Well, it's just not fair to put them in that position to have to be the bad guy about that. So anyway, the other thing that I saw, I'm on a Run Disney volunteer Facebook page, and the protocols for safety were that people volunteers could not bring backpacks to the expo or wherever they were going to be. They had to try to not do that. And I understand that makes sense. Didn't see any protocols for masks, but I may have missed that. So, Yeah. So it should be interesting. The other thing I want to say that Melissa mentioned, it was that at least on I think for the 5K and the 10K, she said for the 10K, it was so cold in the corrals because it was rainy and it happened to be a very cold day that people were huddled together, which what else do you want in a pandemic, right? People huddled together. I mean, they're outside, but so.
I know. I don't know. It's still a little iffy for me. I'm still a little like, what's going on? Why, like you said, they had the Boston Marathon was really cautious and they had masks waiting for people at the end of the race. Like, you know, I want to go into this with you, Mike, in a little bit. But it just, the philosophy of Disney has changed and you can see it in the little details of this. And I'll leave it at that for now, just because I do want to mention the fact that beyond the marathon, they announced a new, race weekend, Mike.
They did, Chris, and actually it looks like it's pretty cool. It's called the Springtime Surprise Weekend, and what they've done is they're bringing back some of the races that have been run by Run Disney in previous years. There is a Expedition Everest 5K, which about 10 years ago had been run. I think they ran it for 2 or 3 years. It's run at night. And it used to be an obstacle course too. Actually, I think I did a 5K. It wasn't an Expedition Everest 5K, but it was a 5K I did back in 2005. I think it was in 2006 in the Animal Kingdom. But that's one of the races. There's Race for the Taste 10K, which was something that I did a long time ago too. That was the predecessor to the Wine and Dine half marathon, actually. So I remember running that. It was only like 250 of us instead of 25,000 now or whatever. So that's 10K. And the other one that I think is really cool, and I don't know if they're going to do this at night, but I hope they do. It's the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 miler, which was cool. So I think all three are cool. The
it's like the perfect distance.
Ugh. I do hope that the we've done the Twilight Zone 10 miler, in which we have you done that, Chris, in the past?
The 13K.
The 13K.
Right.
No, I did the 13K the first time they did it, and then after that it was just a 10 miler. But we actually ran into the Animal Kingdom at night. One of the problems of running in the Animal Kingdom at night is that those walkways are not even. They're kind of hilly. So there was a lot of lights. I remember running through the Orange Tusks. And I don't know if that's going to be run at night, the 5K. But I do hope that the Tower of Terror 10 miler is run at night. And that's going to
be
happening.
I don't think so. I thought I read somewhere where they said it would be during the day. I don't think they want to do any races at night anymore. But...
yeah,
Michelle.
That might be true.
And by the way, 13K is only 8 miles. So the 10-mile one is longer.
Michelle,
so
go ahead.
You and I have listened to Mike talk about all of these old races for years now. And between you and I think we're going to officially call this the Scopa Springtime Surprise Weekend. So from now
we
on,
need a
anybody.
Special there, Scopa Special.
The Scopa Springtime Special Surprise. Springtime. Yeah. I think that's going to be the new name because it's got all the races that he always talks about going to.
Yeah,
and I wish I'd gotten
true.
To be a part of them. So it is a chance for people who missed out on those to go see it. But I think it's a Scopa race.
Wait a second. There's yoga.
It's funny. we'll get to that. I have two Twilight Zone Tower of Terror medals, and one is a little bit smaller than the other one. It's funny because the 13K one, well, the 13K one should be, what's 13K? 6.6 miles.
I told you.
Is it 8 miles? Yeah. So that one's
it's
a little bit smaller.
8.078 miles.
The medals are pretty much the same, except that the 10 miler is a little bit bigger. But I don't remember if the elevator goes up on each medal. But anyways, I wanted to mention the prices for these, Chris, in case our audience doesn't know. At the Expedition Everest 5K is $100. The Race for the Taste 10K is $135. The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 miler is $190
for 8 miles. Wow.
And they have something called the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Challenge, and I think that's all three, and that's $445. And Michelle, did you want to talk about the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Sunrise Yoga?
There's a mouthful.
I love yoga. I actually didn't even know about this. So that's on.
Oh my God! Look at that.
It's on March 31st. You're going to be able to do yoga at Cinderella Castle. Wow, that's interesting. I don't know about that. 5:30 in the morning, you can do yoga. I wonder how much yoga you have. Do you get to bring your own mat, your blocks? How does that go? So, yeah.
I will say this is probably meaning that there won't be a Star Wars half marathon weekend this spring, which is kind of sad. I mean, that was the one I liked going to, and obvious for obvious reasons because I'm a nerd, but
I don't know. It's an hour's worth of yoga. You get a mat. I don't know, 5:30 in the morning. I do yoga almost every day. I think this actually sounds kind of cool.
Is Matt a nice guy?
Bada-bing! Thank you. Tip your waitresses.
Hey,
wait, are they ever going to do the Kessel?
Would you do yoga?
Get out of here.
Wow, I guess that's a no.
I'll tell you why.
Do you get a medal?
I'll tell you why.
That answer was just so perfect.
No, I'll tell you why, because that's 4 days in a row you have to get up early.
Is that why?
No, it's on the same day as the 5K,
I mean,
Mike.
How many times have we said that?
It's the same day as the 5K. So you get up and do the yoga, and then you go do 5K.
Mike? So yeah, but Mike, just do the yoga.
Wait a minute. So
just do the yoga.
Guests will be so they're taking... So you arrive at the ticket and transportation center, okay. Then they bus you to the Magic Kingdom Park via ferry boat. The tramzod's still not working right down there. And then you must exit the park at the end of the event. And then you're on your own as to where you go. And then you have to go to the... Wait a minute. Did you say it's the same day as the 5K, Chris?
It's listed as the same day, March 31st, which is weird because the race for the Taste 10K is April 2nd. So they're avoiding the first for some reason. I don't know, unless they just have the numbers wrong on the website. But that's where it's listed. It's listed March 31st, March 31st, and then 10K is April 2nd. April 3rd is the 10-miler. So I don't know why that is. I don't know why they... What's wrong with April Fool's Day?
O'clock.
Yeah, the Everest one is at night.
It's at night, Chris.
Oh, it is?
It starts at 10 o'clock, yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought they had said we're going to be doing that in the morning now. Oh.
It just like in the olden days, it's got a scavenger hunt in it too. So it's a, so you actually do three kind of, you do two races, you do the race and then you do the scavenger hunt. I think that's how it ran.
Interesting.
So you're getting up early and you're staying and then you got to run at 10 o'clock that night.
Or you could just do the virtual races and call it a day.
That's true.
Literally, like the way our training is going right now, Michelle and I could probably do all three races in one day and call it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 mile is at 5 in the morning. I guess.
It was so cool to see the Tower of Terror lit up at night.
Thing is that April 3rd, I think that it gets, I don't know. Maybe it'll be dark enough. I mean, 10 miles. How long does it take to run 10 miles? An hour and a half, maybe, at the most.
Depending on how fast you are.
Yeah, maybe for most people it'd be an hour and a half. So it might still be dark until 7 o'clock. See, you know, the best thing about that was, like you said, Michelle, the nighttime special effects.
Mm-hmm. The way they lit up the Tower of Terror. Chris, are you going?
I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to the boss about it. It depends. You know, it always depends on, I think she's more of a theme person these days, other than the marathon weekend, which is just because it's the marathon and you can run, you know, the goofy or the dopey. She liked the themes. I mean, we really loved the Wine and Dine because it was nighttime. I liked the Star Wars. She would go with me just because I like the Star Wars. So we'll have to see if there's Tinkerbell, you know, or... You know, the princess was not interesting to us. So we'll have to see. I'll have to confer. You know what it is? It's going to be like the usual thing. We're going to run the marathon and be like, never doing this again. And then like a month later, you're like, when's the next one? So it might kick in a month after this thing. But
I promise you, this is going to be my last marathon.
So
I literally said it the last time.
I know. I just really feel done. I feel done. Half marathon is my jam.
I've been thinking the same thing. And Audra, my wife, has been saying, yeah, I think she could keep going for years after this.
Audra on. You and I can go on Main Street and cheer.
Well, she has said to me, like, just do the half marathon. If that's what you want to do. Like, I'm comfortable at the half marathon length. Like, I could run that. At this point, like I'm doing it every week, but she was like, go do it. And I was like, but it's the marathon. Like, you know, you just have that like, oh, come on and we'll have fun and we'll do it. But like, she's a maniac. I told you off the air, you know, last year they did the New York City Marathon as a virtual run and I got her signed up. I figured out how to sign her up. She ran it. What was interesting is it's a system they had in place where you had to use a certain app that would record your run. For some reason, it paused on her for 3 miles. And so she got to the end of her race. So she was at 26 miles and it realized it only registered as 23. So she actually had to run an extra 3 miles. She ran almost 30 miles that day. She got the medal. She did great. She didn't sign up for the New York City Marathon this year, I think because we're going for January, but Saturday morning she woke up, she went out, came home a few hours later and was like, yep, ran 26.2. And you're just like, what are you doing? She just loves it. She can do it. And I think she'll keep doing these races, the marathon races, as long as she can. And then I'll feel guilty that I'm not doing it and go with her. So, you know what it is? I think I might go as long as I don't do the multiple races. I think if I could just train just for the marathon, it's the back-to-back races that are killing me.
I'm just training for the marathon, and it's
It's tough.
Exhausting me.
Yeah, this weekend I ran 10 on Saturday and 16 on Sunday, and I was exhausted. And I'm like, oh my God, like I couldn't do anything the rest of the day on Sunday. You know, it eats up a lot of your life.
Yeah, I just ran 14.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you're running a marathon, and you know, and you're going to get there. You have 8 weeks to get there. I always feel like I have to train.
I don't want to do the two in a row. I mean, I do think I made a good decision for me that way, but you know, you're as busy as I am, if not busier.
Yeah.
It becomes like another day of work.
Well, I mean, I got into running because my wife is like, just try it. But I came to love running because I love the meditative qualities of it. I like being out alone on a road. It's not a team sport. It's not something, you know, I don't have to go and play softball with a bunch of people. Like, I'm in my own head. I can escape the world. I can think about what I want to think about, enjoy it on my own. And that's the joy that comes from running for me. So I don't think of it as a job, except, you know, it's like that. It's the half hour before you go out for that long run that you're just like, what am I doing with myself?
Exactly.
But usually by mile five, I'm like, just humming along and
bopping along. Yeah,
yeah. And just really,
you're right, I'm
it.
The
so,
same way.
So it's you know, I'm not going to be stupid enough to say like I did last time, this is my last marathon, but it might be my last multiple race, unless I do like a 5K on Thursday and then the full marathon. Maybe I'll do the
you're already back. Pat.
Maybe I'll do the grumpy like Mike likes. I'll do the 5, the 10, and then the full.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So what about you? You guys gonna go down there? Michelle, do you want to run this one?
Well, we're gonna be there for my spring break, which is like 2 weeks before. But who knows? They all look really fun. It looks like a fun weekend. So,
well, you could just pick one. You don't have to do them all.
Yeah.
Have you done any of those? You've done the 10 mile, huh?
I have not done the Expedition Everest.
That's
I've
correct.
Done the 10 miler. The yoga thing sounds really fun to me.
And the race for the taste. It's just the 10K.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I like the idea of a 10 mile. I've never done a 10 miler.
Yeah. That's a good.
Just a different length. It's just a different distance. So
I think all three races are going to be involved with, well, you've got the 5K, which starts and ends at the Animal Kingdom. And the other two are probably going to be right around that same area that along that road. Is that Osceola? I forget what it is. But it looks like the races are going to be, with the exception of the yoga, the three races will be away from the Magic Kingdom.
Interesting. So, you know, it's funny. I was, I've been training obviously for the races. And recently I picked up, I was picking her up at a bar, a nutritionist to help me with my,
nutrition,
my eating habits and what I, you know, and how to better focus my energies. Like, so, you know, in terms of what I was eating and as a runner doing long distances, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't exhausted all the time and I had energy. And, but luckily, Mike, I found out that when I'm at Disney, I don't have to worry about too big a portion these days, right?
I know what you're getting at, Chris. So on Wednesday, November, what was Wednesday this past week? November 10th. Disney announced its quarterly earnings, and they did very well. And the chief, I think she's chief financial officer, her name is Christine McCarthy, was talking about how the company is trying to offset inflation. And she made a statement, and there's been quite a reaction from everybody and wondering, you know, how she was allowed to say this. And you wonder if her remarks were first passed over to Bob Chapek, and he said, okay, you can say this. But anyways, when asked about inflation, she talked about how they're going to attack it. And one of the ways is going to be in their restaurants. And she said, and I quote, "We can cut portion size to save costs / combat inflation, which is probably good for some people's waistlines." And that really took off, and a lot of people were surprised that she said something like that. One person made a comment about her appearance. Another person said something along the line of, maybe Disney is more concerned about increasing their profit waistline and things like that. But it was something that was said during the earnings. They actually did very well compared to last year. Almost doubled their earnings in the quarter, same quarter from last year. But that was a big, big deal. And, I have no problem if they decided to maintain the same prices for everything and lower the portions, because they do give like large portions, and we all don't need that.
So you agree with her?
I agree that they should lower the portions, but I also think that you don't lower the portions and increase the price.
I will also say I don't appreciate fat shaming people as an excuse why you're going to reduce portion sizes. The other big thing, this is the way I would have couched it if I were a corporation. There's a lot of food waste in this world. Mm-hmm. I go to Disney and I see it. You see people who order a meal and it's huge. I mean, they do. They're very generous portions, and you'll see a lot of it go into the trash, and it's a waste and it's a sin. And I would say, hey, maybe we are lowering or reducing portion sizes for the environment. I mean, you could have couched it any which way. Like, sure, we're looking for the environment. We're looking, hey, we are giving too much here.
Reducing waste.
Yeah. And so we want our guests to realize that we care about this planet as well as our guests. There could have been so many ways to approach this in a way that got them to that point and didn't piss everybody off.
That's a great point. I know where I work, we're having all these meetings about how to reduce your carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there was a research study, if you turn your camera off during Zoom meetings, it decreases your carbon footprint like a tremendous amount. But to put it in those terms, with the conference that was just in Scotland about reducing, helping the atmosphere and reducing our carbon footprint, to put it that way would have been really smart.
A much smarter way.
You're right.
I don't know. It was interesting. And this is where I wanted to get to before with you guys, because I want to get your take on this thing. Back during the, what was it? It was the 2012 election. Mitt Romney had said, "Corporations are people, my friends." And I know people have said we're political. I'm not trying to be political, but I'm just trying to talk about corporations. And I was talking to my wife about it, and I realized that my wife goes, "No, corporations are people." And I'm like, "No, here's what they are. Corporations are philosophies. They're the philosophies of the people that are in charge of the corporation at the moment. So the philosophy of the corporation of Disney is different today than it was, say, in 1955, right? Walt's vision for the company was, we want to create wholesome family entertainment at a cost-effective way that makes everybody, give out to everybody. So everybody is involved. You can afford it no matter what you make. And I think the philosophy these days is more, we're out to help our shareholders make a lot of money. And however we do that, we do it. And that's the end. And I think it's a philosophy that was shown with that statement. We don't really care about you, our guest. We're looking at the bottom dollar. I know it was a corporate yearly earnings statement, but I also wonder, where's your philosophy? Where is the where's the guest in your discussion other than, hey, you fatso, you need to eat less anyway. So we'll charge you the same amount and give you less. And that's all great because our shareholders are happy because they're making another 10 cents on their shares. I don't know what you think, but.
Well, the other point of that too is like, that is what they say when people are at the shareholders meeting and it's being recorded. Yeah. You know, what are they saying when it's not? So it's, I'd love to see what happened after the recording stopped and the meeting was over. And Mike is rustling his notes. He's got some thoughts.
He's
coming.
Got notes on this one.
So how does what Christine McCarthy come about when you're talking about Chef Mickey's, Trails End, Bear Garden, Crystal Palace?
Well, they don't have buffets Hollywood right now, right?
They might be. So what's going to stop people from piling on at buffets, which I think is really a wasteful thing to Chris's point, you know, saving the environment and all that stuff. Why not just eliminate the buffets as well? Because
there's
more ways.
Who knows if they're coming back?
I don't know. I don't know if they're back.
They also charge a whole lot of money per person for those.
Yeah, they're doing family style. I think they were doing family style for a while.
Yeah, they're doing family style. That's better than a buffet, but I still think, you know, they put a pile of food on a table and that doesn't necessarily mean that the plate's going to be clean. You know, it's just so many things are wasteful. Chris, you know that we've been together at many dessert parties that we've arranged. Mm-hmm. And one time I asked the cast member at the dessert party, I said, well, it doesn't look like all this food is going away. Do we have a say as to which soup kitchen or organization that can benefit from this extra? And they say, no, we throw it away. We can't give it away. And there must be some kind of health issues.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think sitting outside for an extended period of time might not be.
Yeah, it just that, and you take that and you think about all the waste that goes into it, and people who are maybe 10 miles, 20 miles from Disney World who are probably having a tough time getting a meal. It's just, I scratch my head when I see things that are being done down there.
I do think they donate a lot to local kitchens. Maybe not the stuff that's out for a dessert party, but I think they do.
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm not, I hope I'm not like sounding like I'm totally bashing them. I just think, like I said, I think the philosophy of the corporation has changed over the years. I think of, you know, when Bob Iger was in charge, it didn't fly well, but he tried. Bob was very into nutrition, health. I mean, he exercised a lot, and he offered a lot. They at the Disney parks, they offered a lot of low-calorie, healthy things. They added. My favorite stuff was they started adding, like, you know, you could buy carrots and celery and grapes, mm-hmm. and even those giant pickles for some reason. But yet, I know.
What do you mean for some reason?
Well, because I think a lot of people were just like, pickles. I love the pickles. Don't get me wrong.
Me too. Better than a turkey leg.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, we saw that it didn't go over well. A lot of people didn't go for it. I wish they still offered it. I would prefer it. I would actually, you know, maybe this is why they don't offer it. I would have that during the day. I would stop at a kiosk and grab, you know, carrots and celery sticks, grapes, whatever, have some water. And that would hold me over. That would tide me for the day. And I was spending, what, you know, $7 for that. And then I'm not going to the restaurant or you know, the quick service and spending $40. So, you know, maybe that's the play. But, you know, I definitely think the philosophy has changed over the years in terms of what they're who they're serving. I think Walt and Roy were serving the guest. I think with Bob Chapek, we've gotten to the point where the money people are now in charge as opposed to the creative people. And their client is the shareholder.
I think you're right, Chris. I think that if you look at the last 30 years, they've gone from a CEO who had very creative juices, Michael Eisner. A lot of people don't realize it, but it was his idea to start putting made-for-television movies on ABC. He came up with that idea. He had a lot of creativity. He was the architect for the Disney decade. And then when Bob Iger came in, he kind of straddled between being trying to be creative and trying to be a caretaker and a Wall Street, you know, listener or whatever. And then when you have Bob Chapek, he's not creative at all. There's a lot of people who really want him to be removed, and he's just been listening to the shareholders. And sometimes I think it's hard to please both, but if you don't have happy guests who come to your to purchase your products and services, then you're not going to have happy shareholders. So I think one begets the other. And if you please the guests, they're going to come. And if they're going to come a lot, things are going to happen and the shareholders are going to be pleased. I don't think it should be the other way around.
Yeah. I think the philosophy, like to beat a dead horse, has been Walt's philosophy was treat a customer well, give them a good show at a low price, and you'll have a customer for life. And they'll come back year after year, and you're thinking long term, right? I go to Disney because I went as a kid. I fell in love with the parks because I was a little kid with my family. And then as an adult, I brought my wife and kids to continue that thought. Today's philosophy is get as much money as you can from them right now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about keeping customers, because there are many more where that came from. And I think the idea of reaching out to all tax brackets, you know, the people who don't make as much money as others, who used to be able to come and afford these parks, can't make it anymore. I think it's the prices have gone up, the services have gone down, and that's their philosophy now. We're going to go for the money right now.
Bottom line is that the power is still in the hands of the consumers, and the consumers can influence a company's approach to business, products and services. If you continue to buy products and services, no matter how high the prices are, no matter how low the services are, things are going to keep doing that. But if
which we all will,
right?
Well, which we are. But everybody's still doing it. We are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because the very merriest Christmas show, Christmas party that we talked about last week or the week before, they've actually sold out on the most expensive night, which is the 21st of December. That party is sold out, and those tickets were, I believe, $249 before taxes. So, you know, you guys might be right, but
ask you this though: that night, is it more? Do you think it's more guests, like people who are vacationing, or is that like the bloggers and the people whose incomes come from, you know, reporting about Disney?
I think the bloggers, as I was, I've always in the past, I've been part of that group. We've always been given complimentary tickets on the very first night that a party would be shown. If it was Mickey's Very Merry or Mickey's Not So Scary, we always got free tickets for the very first night that that party was on. So I don't believe that when you're talking about the 21st of December, that it would be. I think it's people who are there for vacation and they're saying, well, it's Christmas. I don't think it's the locals. There's no way that that you can convince me that the locals are buying these tickets. The locals may buy the cheapest tickets. Like this week was the first very merriest party. And I think it was $149, which is still pretty high. It's a pretty high cookie, you know.
How many hours?
4 hours and 4 hours and... There are no parades. There's a cavalcade. There are some shows. But for the most part, people who have been to the Boo Bash, and one person's review I read of the Very Merriest says that basically, if you want to get access to attractions which are very difficult to get on during the day, then the ticket may be worth it to you. If you're looking to see, you know, special Christmas stuff and parades and, you know, fireworks and everything, then, you know, maybe it is for you. I know that one person who went to the Boo Bash said there wasn't Halloween themed fireworks, and there wasn't a, I don't think there was a Boo to you parade. There were cavalcades.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, so there were cavalcades, and the same thing's holding for the Christmas show. So Christmas party. So my thought, Chris, is that were the reviews that were written and read and spread regarding the Boo Bash going to have an impact on the very merriest party? I don't know at this point. So far, there are two nights that have been sold out, the first night and the last night. So we'll see what happens in between.
Well, it means that people are still paying for it. So, you know, maybe their philosophy is right. Maybe that's, you know, keep pushing until people push back, and they haven't.
I do want to give kudos. You know, it always sounds like we're negative, and I know people accuse us of being negative, but I'm going to give kudos and a pat on the back to the Walt Disney World Company right now, because I don't know how many people realize this, but if you go to the Magic Kingdom at one of these shows, at one of these parties, and you happen to watch the, I think it's called the Christmas Cavalcade or whatever, and when Santa shows up, they're going to have a black Santa Claus, which I think is very commendable. I don't know of any other company that does that, and I thought that was pretty cool. My hat's off to Disney for that bit of diversification, because they need to show that, you know, we all should be represented. So kudos to them.
Love it. Love it. So any final words before we say goodnight? We got nothing.
The only thing I'm sorry.
Michelle shaking her head no, and then Mike's like, one more thing, and she just collapsed in her chair.
I just
welcome to my world.
I just want to make a comment, Chris, and I think you've heard some. I've been keeping track with close friends who have been down there talking about Genie Plus.
Oh yes.
And there is a consensus that Genie Plus is a crowd control tool, and that a lot of people have been who have tried it one day, they don't try it after that. Yeah. They want to control their own. They use other applications which are out there that can be used to figure out how to tour a park. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how Disney Plus works over the next several weeks, and especially during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday, where people may want to use that app and pay that amount of money, because time is very precious and the crowds are there. So I think we're still watching to see if Genie Plus is going to be something that's going to be, you know.
I think somebody needs to sort of beta check it, and sort of, I had a friend who's down there, and he said he got it for Hollywood Studios. He booked one attraction early in the morning, and then he realized he wanted to get on to Smuggler's Run. But by the time he checked it, the only one available was 5 o'clock. So he had nothing in between. He couldn't book anything until that point. So he basically paid $30 for he and his wife for two rides for that day. So you have to be sure that you're careful in how you select your attractions. I think that the trick is to get the big, heavy ones up front, so you don't wait all day long for those and then worry about the other ones later on. But
I think that we are 6 to 9 months away from knowing exactly how best to use Genie Plus. We're going to be hearing people figuring out how to best way to use it. And until then, I think a lot of people are going to hold off spending that money.
Well, we'll probably talk about this more as the time goes on, but I think we've hit Michelle's limit here. She's passed out in her chair. She's sleeping. I can hear her snoring back there. So that's going to wrap it up for us for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to reach out to us, tweet us at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scribner McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Aliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.